Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you.
And welcome back to the podcast. You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, and I'm your hostess, Lee Brown, where I'm bringing you colleagues in and around real estate across this great country who can tell you things that you absolutely had no idea could ever happen in real estate. And if you're a realtor, you always know that your story is only good until somebody says, yeah, but this one time, when we always get topped by something else because we never know what the day is going to bring. And there's no better evidence of that than my guest today, who has been a realtor for quite some time in the great state of Maryland, Shirley Matlock. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Lee. Glad to be here.
So tell our listeners a little bit of your background, where you're located in specific and how long you've been in the business, anything else they ought to know.
I'm located in Howard County, which is halfway between Baltimore and Washington. So I do the whole Baltimore-Washington area. Been in the business about 28 years now. Probably 95% of my business has been referred to me. I am a certified residential specialist, which we consider the PhD of real estate, and less than 3% of realtors have that designation. So I always encourage people to work with someone who has a CRS after their name.
Which I'm glad you brought that up right away. There's often a very big misconception in the public that realtors just don't do much education, which has been, frankly, cemented by the fact that our state commissions don't require a ton of continuing education from realtors. But there are real professionals out there in the field who will do anything they can to learn something that makes them better. And when you see a realtor with the letter CRS behind their name, what that's telling you is that they have invested their time and their money in classes that go way above and beyond. And Shirley calls it the PhD of real estate. And it's well known inside the ranks of realtors that the realtors that have CRS have not just invested in the education, but they've proven that it works because they have a sales record that you have to achieve in order to earn those letters. So if you are a consumer who's looking to buy or sell, you definitely want to look out for those letters behind a name. It's not just alphabet soup. Those three letters mean a lot. And as Shirley's already mentioned, a lot of us in real estate, if we have a client who's changing marketplaces, I don't know about you, Shirley, but the first place I look is CRS and see who's in that area. And I even look at that before I look at brand.
I do too. I always look at this for a CRS in no matter what state that I'm sending someone to.
So with that being said, 28 years is quite an achievement because you're getting close to that next big 30-year anniversary marker. And I'm sure you'll have some past clients who come and give you a big hug for making it that long. But in that time frame in real estate, and you haven't just survived in real estate, you've been a top producer in your market. So I know you've seen some things that you saw the one time and said, holy smokes. So I'd love for you to tell our listeners in 28 years, you could have 25 stories, I'm sure, but there's something that makes you say, seriously, y'all, I can't believe I saw this. So tell our listeners what that moment in real estate was for you.
I've had many over the years, but I'm going to tell you about the most current one that I had. As I mentioned, I do a lot of referrals. I have a lot of clients that refer me, and this is a referral story. Past client referred me to her neighbor, and her neighbor is renting out his house, and he decided he wants to buy the house. So my first step is to determine the value of the property. He already let his landlord know that he wants to buy the house. I go over and walk through the house, take notes on the property so that I can do research and come up with a value. Did that, came back to him, told him the amount. And then the next thing was for me to call the landlord. So I call the landlord, and he tells me, and this story has a couple twists, that the landlord tells me that the owner is out of town. He'll be back in a month. This happened this past November. So we let the time go by, and I let my client know, and I get in touch with him a month later. And he tells me that it's a property management company that owns it. And I said, okay, that's fine. What's the name of the company? I can put that on the contract. Apparently, he is the property management company.
Of course.
There's the first red flag. He told me the owner was out of town for a month. right?
This is never going to go in a bad direction, right?
Oh, I'll tell you. So we negotiated a price, and he agreed to pay commissions and that. So I get hook up my client with my lender, and we're moving. We do a home inspection. A lot of issues with the home inspection. I try to contact my client. He doesn't return my call many, many times. So I talk to the lender. The lender says, we're trying to get his W-2s and not been able to get those. So he keeps telling us, we'll get them. And we're supposed to settle in February. So like early February, my lender calls me and said, well, we have a problem. The client's committed fraud. I said, what? And what happened? And he said, well, he said he can't get me W-2s. The lender said, well, I have all your pay stubs, so I don't understand why you can't get the W-2s. And he goes, well, my employer knew that I was going to buy a house, so we put together fake pay stubs.
He admitted it?
Yes. And he said, and we couldn't figure out how to make W-2s look real. So, of course, that deal fell through. He's still living in the house. He's still renting it from the landlord. But he has no pay stub, no W-2. He told me he's never filed income taxes, so he couldn't do income taxes.
What do you do with somebody now that you know they've never filed income taxes? What do you do about that? Does the lender turn them in? Do you turn them in? Or what would be the next step there besides just knowing it won't turn into a sale?
It's up to the lender. The buyer had to do an application, and on that application, he put certain information, which was illegal or not true. And he signed it saying it was true. So it's up to the lender to report him, not me. He didn't commit any kind of fraud to me.
Right.
But the lender said he's not going to move forward on that. I would if, but it's not my position to do that. So that's how that ended up.
And it's one of those stories where if you're listening to this and you're of a certain kind of mindset, you might say, oh, but he's not doing anything wrong. He'd still make the payments. He wants to live in a house. But the reality is, we know that fraud is a big reason for a lot of the shenanigans that went down during the Great Recession. And mm-hmm. that also made it hard to get out of there because people are harmed when they cheat the system. If you don't like the system, you have to work to change it. But until then, you kind of follow some kind of rules in life. And I'd say this is a clear example of why you want to consider using the lender that's affiliated with your professional realtor. And by affiliated, I mean they've chosen to work together, not that there's any money changing hands, but because Shirley has selected a lender who's really got good ethics and integrity, they saw what was going on, they were told what was going on, and they stopped it.
Yeah.
And in the past, we've had a lot of people who would have said, you know what? Let's just keep it moving forward. And they would take their chances of never getting discovered. But even if you think you'll never get discovered, you got to live with yourself. So it's just another reason that as your professional realtors, we don't want you going out to find some random lender that we don't know because it can put you at risk. It could have put the seller at risk. Frankly, it would put this buyer at risk because they knew they were breaking the law and the lender kept them from getting any deeper in trouble. And it's
right.
also why you want a professional realtor who's also not going to fall into that trap just to get one commission check.
It's important for everyone to know also when you do apply for a mortgage, you need your income taxes, your W-2s, your pay stubs, your bank statements. All those are required when you're doing a mortgage application.
And there's good reason for that. The banks are going to be putting out most of the money for the house you're buying. They have the right to know if you are a good risk or not. And it's not always the banks that are at fault when it comes to foreclosures and short sales and distressed properties. There's oftentimes you have somebody who was trying to cheat the system on the other end. So if you point the finger, make sure you're pointing it everywhere.
That's right. That's right.
So Shirley, you and I both know that when we're dealing with buyers, they often want to go find their own mortgages elsewhere because there is always a fear that we, the realtor, may have a relationship that involves kickbacks and stuff, and we don't, but there's still that perception. How do you explain to your buyers why they should consider using these trusted people that you know, and how do you keep them from getting lured into really good-looking internet deals that you and I know very rarely turn into what you thought they were?
I always give my clients three or four different lenders that I work with, and I've worked with all of them. And depending on the buyer's situation, if they're a first-time buyer, then I say, you know, they do have a lot of first-time buyer programs. But more importantly, I tell them that when I work with a lender that I know and trust, if there's any issues, we will know about it long before there becomes an issue. I tell the buyer, if they go with a lender whom I don't know and who they don't know me, and I call for information, I'm just another number. They don't know who I am. They don't know my professionalism and my character. So it's best to work with someone that I know so that you get the benefit if there's any kind of issues that come up and we can work through them.
Just like you've already mentioned that the bulk of your clientele comes from people who have gladly given out your name. As a buyer, we want you to know that when we give your name to our lender, that lender has to make you happy because they want us to be happy because we could keep sending them more business. If you pick some random person online who doesn't have a relationship with any of us, they might do whatever they have to do to get that one deal done, but that's all you represent to them often is one deal and maybe a refinance later. They generally give our clients way better service and way better deals because they don't want to get on our bad side. And frankly, I'm glad.
That's very true.
So Shirley, if you had one piece of advice you could give to, let's see, to realtors, since we do have a large portion of our listenership as realtors and also people who are considering becoming a realtor, what's the one piece of advice you would give them of your 28 years in the business that they should do, consider, or say that would make their lives better?
I would suggest get as much education as you can in a variety of settings, as far as different types of loans, different kind of strategies to work with buyers, strategies to work with sellers, and also business planning, which is very important. I'm a big advocate of education. I think you can never learn enough. So whenever something new comes up, try to learn as much about it as you can. And also not only learn it, but teach it to others. Because as you teach others, you learn more. And I'm sure you see that as well.
We totally didn't set that up before we started this episode. So that was not a setup, but Shirley did say words that would totally have come out of my mouth. And I'll tell you, buyers and sellers, it's a good question to ask realtors as you're interviewing. Hey, what's the last class you took? I mean, find out what they're interested in. Are they learning more about luxury homes? Are they learning more about loan products? Are they learning about new construction? Because that's going to tell you that they're out there making themselves better for your benefit, because your best realtors do it for the benefit of their clients. And It's a fair question to ask. And I always suggest that you ask your interviewed realtors. So most people talk to two or three realtors before they select one. Ask them when they take their mandatory state continuing education, which I'm fascinated by that. I like to take mine at the beginning of the cycle because the information is like hot off the presses. And if there's been changes to the state paperwork, I need to know that. The realtors who take it at the last possible minute have possibly gone almost a whole year without knowing the updates to the law. So It's a really good question to ask. And if a realtor can't tell you that they're doing education because they say they're too busy for it, I would put a question mark right there, because your best realtors crave the knowledge because they crave being better and better at the craft of real estate.
And many people do wait until the last minute to get their credits. And every state has so many credits that you need. In Maryland, it's 15. Some are required, like agency and different classes. But I take mine right away. And if we need 15, I probably end up with 30 in a 2-year period. You can never learn enough. There's always something to learn.
Every single time, even the worst class with the worst instructor has some bit of knowledge that makes you say, oh, I can do that better. And that's what we look for, is what can make us all better.
Right.
All right. So Shirley, if anybody is looking for an amazing realtor who's also dedicated to making other realtors better, which is who you are, and they're anywhere in the area of Maryland and aren't sure if you cover it, but they know they could call you anyway, how can they reach you?
My email address is shirleymatlock@remax.net. And my best number is 410-465-7777.
And look, people, I know that y'all can remember the 7777 just as I can, but you can't remember the rest. It's okay, because all of Shirley's information will be in the show notes for this episode so that you can reach out to her at any time with buyers or sellers who need professional guidance in Maryland, or if you'd like to learn more about how you can become more engaged as a realtor in education, you'd like to learn more about the Certified Residential Specialist designation or that network, Shirley is always glad to help. And I appreciate you for not just being on the podcast, but for the amount of time and energy you have vested in realtors across the country. It's greatly appreciated.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
Now, if you're listening and you want to talk about real estate and you don't want to make it all perfect and polished like HGTV, all you have to do is hit me at Lee Brown on Twitter or any of the social networks to be featured in a future episode. Make sure that you subscribe so that you don't miss a minute, because frankly, I don't know what's coming next and neither do you. And until then, we'll see you next time.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.